The following audio is from Redemption Church. More information about our church can be found at www.redemptionchurchlacombe.org.
Take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians 2, verse 20, as Andrew mentioned to you, that today I'm preaching on the memory verse that I introduced to us last week, stepping out of our series on meeting with God for today. I felt it was pertinent for us to hear from God's word upon this text that we are putting to memory. Galatians 2:20 talks about the crucified life that we have in Christ and the amazing miracle that when we die to Christ, that life begins. How is it possible that when something dies, that life can actually begin? In a very physical sense, that is not possible. It is an oxymoron, which means it's something that's completely opposite of what should be the reality of it. When something on this earth dies, its life ceases to exist. It is over. It is done. But yet in this mystery that we're going to see today in Galatians 2:20, that most of us, prior to coming to Christ, we really thought that we were living, but in reality, we weren't really living at all. But when we come to faith in Christ, there is a death of ourselves. And in that moment, there is a life that comes through Christ that we've never experienced before. Now, if you're here this morning and you have never trusted in Christ for your salvation, that you've surrendered to Him, never surrendered to Him as your Lord and King, I want you to hear this text today and understand that although your heart may be beating, and although that you may have oxygen in your lungs, you are simply existing. And that you may think that you're living for things of this world, and that your job is fine, and your house is fine, and your family is fine. But I'm telling you today that you have not yet lived until Christ lives in you. And for those of us in this room who may have surrendered our lives to Christ and have made Him Lord and King, I want us to be reminded of the reality that in order for us in our walking in Christ, if we want to experience life, the life that Jesus promised when He said in John 10:10, I came to give them life and give it to them abundantly. If we want to experience that life, our self still has to die. We're going to see in this passage of Scripture that there is an initial crucifixion that has to happen of us, of our life. But if you have lived long enough as a Christian, you will know that our flesh wants to rise to the occasion that has to be crucified over and over and over again in order for the life to take place in Christ. This text is straightforward. It's not complex. It's not difficult. But I found that as I've prayed for what was read for today, is that God was pointing us to this text, because I think that oftentimes as Christians, we need to be reminded that sometimes we get numb to the sinful things that are around us, and we need to be reminded that we need to die to those things, because the enemy is good at lying to us to make us think that we're living when in actuality we're not really living. And so I pray that today as we look at this passage of Scripture that Paul gives to us, that we would be reminded of the glory of what God did through His Son Jesus for us, and what we need to do today in order for us to live to the fullest. Let's read the text. We're going to actually back up to get some context. We're going to back up to verse 11 of chapter 2. When we see the context of this passage, this, what we're reading today is really the thrust behind this whole book of Galatians. Paul is writing to the churches that were in the Galatia region. It was part of a region that in Paul's missionary journeys where he planted several churches, that part of the issue that happened for some of these Jews who came to faith in Christ, some of them were listening to others that were saying that they needed to be back under the law in order for them to be made right for God. And Paul is screaming loudly to them to say it's not the law that makes us right before God at all. And so Paul, in this particular moment, we're backing up to verse 11, because Peter, who was one of the apostles of Christ, even himself and even Barnabas, as we're going to see, began to be persuaded by this mentality to, even though they had faith in Christ, that they were easing back into that mentality that the law was what was going to be making them right. And I want you to hear this from the beginning. Even if you have placed faith in Christ, sometimes it's easy to slip into the mentality that self-righteous behaviors is what's going to make us right with God. We get to this mentality and think, well, I got to do these things and these things and these things to be right before God. And Paul is saying to them, to the church at Galatia, and he's saying to us, our self-righteous efforts will never make us right before God. We need to be reminded, as Paul was saying to them and even to us today, that the only way that I can delight in God and rest in God is resting in what Christ did on the cross and crucify those self-righteous efforts. And so Paul is going to address Peter, and then he's going to transition to explain, as we're going to get to the text today, that we are crucified with Christ. So let's read the text, verse 11, Galatians chapter 2. When Cephas is Peter's name, when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. Before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party, and the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas, or to Peter, before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. If you don't have that underlined or highlighted or asterisked or dotted or arrowed, whatever you need to do, that passage is fundamental to the Christian faith. We are not justified. We are not made right by doing things of the law. It's only through faith. It is foundational to Christianity. Paul continues, so we also have believed in Christ in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified. But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. If I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if justification were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. All of these texts that we have just read are weighty in and of themselves. But for the sake of our time today, I want us to concentrate on verse 20 to get the essence of what Paul is trying to communicate to you and to me. What I hope that will be gained by our time together this morning is that there will be an appreciation, a renewal sense of thankfulness for what Christ has done for us on the cross. And I also pray that in our time together that God will remind us and show us if there's anything that has crept back into our Christian mindset of things that we think that we have to do, and that we will rest and the effective work of the cross. So in this passage of Scripture, Paul is really giving us kind of two main essence and points that we're here. And so let's walk through those. First of all, I want you to see in this passage of Scripture that in order for us to live, we must be crucified. We must die. Notice this passage of Scripture. Look at it again, that first portion of verse 20. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. Now, for clarification here, let's make certain that we understand Paul is not speaking of a literal death here. Paul literally didn't get crucified on the cross, because if that was the case, then Paul would not be writing these letters. There were only two people who were actually crucified with cross. That was the two criminals. One was on the left, one was on the right. One was condemned, and one repented and believed in Christ in that moment. That was what the literal crucifixion that took place. So Paul is saying something more than just that literal hanging up on the cross that's there. But Paul, in a very real spiritual sense, he is giving us some understanding of what this means. So I'm going to give you 2 points for, I believe, what Paul is saying that this means for him and what it means for us. Number one means this: in order to live, we have to be crucified to our self-righteous efforts. If we want to live in Christ, then every bit of self-righteous efforts has to be crucified. This is what Paul is saying. Go back to verse 19 and notice what Paul says right before this text. Through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. Understand the context of the person that we are reading about. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. As to the law, according to Philippians, he says he was zealous, meaning that Paul examined the law. He tried to observe the law to its highest level. When people boasted, Paul says, if they want to boast, I can boast even better. People would compare themselves, and Paul would say, I'm better than you. I've done everything to the law. He's saying, I've done everything that I can. Paul tried to be the best Jew possible. Paul tried to adhere to every law possible. And Paul now is saying, I died to those efforts because all those efforts were in vain to make me right before God. If Paul was recognizing, in order for him to live, Paul thought he was living. He thought he was living by adhering to the law. Listen to the Pharisees. They added so many extra rituals and instructions and things that was extra to the law that God had given. And Paul is saying, I'm trying to do all of those things. And Paul is saying, I did those and they did not bring me life at all. And Paul is saying, if we want to live, we've got to be crucified, meaning you take all of your self-effort that you've tried to make yourself right before God, and you say, God, I lay these, I crucify them, because they will not make me right before you. Put it in our terminology. You say, well, I'm not obeying laws and ritualistics, but here's the way it works in our mentality. We try to put it in this way. This is what our self-righteous behaviors look like. We try to be good to people. We try to be kind to people. We try to serve people. We try to make sure that we're patient with people. We try to even be good in the social aspects and social gospel. We'll try to give away clothes. We'll try to give away food. And all those things make us feel good, and we think that God is pleased with us. And all the time, those things, those righteousness, as the scripture says, they're like filthy rags before God. They're self-righteous efforts and they're no good. I'll tell you how it plays out. This past week, I shared this story on our Wednesday night class that I'm teaching here. This last week, after a Tuesday night baseball game at Pelican Park, was in the parking lot, and the only last guy that was left was someone that I had seen over years of being at Pelican Park, and of all the times that we would park next to me, it's just him and I there in the park. And so this was the opportunity I felt the Lord was giving me to share the gospel with him. And so when I began to talk about the gospel and ask him about his faith, this was his answer. Well, I try to be good to people. I'm trying to do everything that I possibly can. I'm not being mean to anyone. I'm trying to serve my family. And he just went on and on, and his list was long. Now, do you think I left him there? I listened, and my answer was, all those righteous efforts are no good. That's what I'm talking about. This is putting Paul's words into our words, and I had to explain to him. Now, you tell me, is it coincidental that that conversation would happen the very week that I'm going to preach on this passage of Scripture? Can anybody see the sovereignty of God in that moment? Let me just get a side note here of the sovereignty of God, because that guy, I have seen him for years. Every once in a while, there at the park, I haven't had the opportunity, and I've just been acquaintances, and here's the opportunity. I kind of felt that prompting every once in a while, and then he's parked right next to me as we're getting ready to go. Now, that's God. To hear the very truth that I was preaching on today. Isn't that amazing? Now, he didn't repent and believe in that particular moment, but he heard the truth. And this is the truth that we, some of you may be sitting here in this very room this morning or listening by stream today, and you're trying hard to please God. You can try and try, and it's all in vain. Paul is telling us those things have to die. If we want to be able to live, we have to recognize that just trying to be at church and trying to be good and trying to do things of the social ministry and writing a check to the church or writing the check to a neighbor, whatever, all those things are fine, all those things are good, but listen, all those things are never going to be enough. We have to die to those things. Let me tell you secondly what I believe that Paul is saying in this text when you look at that and he says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's not just self-righteous behavior that has to die. Paul was a sinner. All of his sinful actions and behavior, Paul was a murderer. And Paul is saying, those things have to die in order for me to live. Now, I want you to understand, look at the text closely. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Not just Christ was crucified for me. There's a vast difference. Now, Christ did die for us, but understand that Paul is saying, I've been crucified with Christ. What did Christ die for? He died to pay the penalty for sin. Christ died to satisfy a righteous, holy God, because a perfect person had to die to pay the payment for all of the sins for all who would believe. Paul is saying, if he's crucified with Christ, why did Christ die? For sin. So Paul is saying, if I'm crucified with Christ, that means all of my sins, behaviors, actions, flesh, had to die with Christ. I want you to understand this term. Do you understand the word crucifixion? When the Romans would put someone on the cross, they didn't place them on the cross to just do a partial punishment and then take them down. They put them on the cross to die. Every person who is crucified died. The word crucifixion is equivalent to death. Now, I want you to take that truth and listen to what Paul is saying. If I'm going to live, everything about me, my sins, my actions, my behaviors, my righteous deeds are crucified with Christ. Think about this. Throughout all of human history, every person who's going to believe in Christ for the salvation, for the forgiveness of their sins, in some essence, was crucified at that moment with Christ. Many of us don't think of that. We just look backwards in what he did. But Paul is saying, in some essence, it was almost like I was there when I placed faith in him. It's like I'm there. All of my sins, everything was crucified with Christ. Done. Death. Sentence. Done. Paul says it this way in Colossians chapter 2. Everything that I have done, all of my sins were nailed to the cross. Believer, listen. When the enemy wants to rise up the sins that you've done in the past to try to defeat you, because he's good at doing that, is he not? He wants to remind you what you did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 2 days ago. In that moment, this is why you need to have this text in your mind. You can say, no, 2,000 years ago, those things were crucified with Christ. It was settled. It was done. It was there. It was permanently placed upon Christ. And because of that, I can live. We need to rest in that reality. And because of that, when we come to faith in Christ, this is what Paul is saying. We can't come to faith in Christ and want to just hang on to our sins and be crucified with Christ. Let me ask you the question. How is it possible to come to Jesus if you're wanting to just keep hanging on? I don't want to get rid of these things. No, if you come to Him and you want to live, everything has to be nailed to the cross, crucified to the cross. It has to be done, gone, everything total. When you do, life can happen. Death is painful sometimes, is it not? Sometimes we don't want to let go of the things that have been in our lives that were sinful, wrong actions. Because at the whole time when we're saying that, the enemy is saying to us, you're going to miss that. That's really, we've had a good time. You're sure you don't want to let go of that sinful behavior, that sinful action? And the whole time we're hanging on to those things, Christ is saying, but life is here. Here. That we have to crucify those things. So I'm just encouraging you this morning, believer, if you've come to faith in Christ, you have been crucified with Christ and the life is in Jesus. It's not in what you used to do. And you need to cling to that reminder that it's gone. Past tense. Settled. So what happens? Paul is saying to us, there is a beautiful reality. There is a beautiful reward to us that when we do die, when we're crucified with Christ, something happens. And that's right there in that text. And it is this, that when we are crucified with Christ and we die to sin and we die to our self-righteous behaviors, look at the text. The beautiful thing is that then in that very moment, in that supernatural moment, instantly Christ comes to live in us. Look at that text. I have been crucified with Christ. You can almost insert a now. So now, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives, say it, in me. In me. Do you realize that the God of the universe and the moment of crucifixion supernaturally comes to live in you? So when the enemy wants to bring back the garbage of our past and bring the sins that we've had in the past, we can say, no, but God of the universe lives in me. The Spirit of Christ, through the Holy Spirit, lives in us in that instant, in the moment, Paul is saying, I was a religious person. I was the Pharisee. I was the legalistic person. I was zealous for the law. But in the moment that I died with Christ, that I died, then God lives in me. Supernaturally, supernatural power, living in me. That's the beautiful thing that's here. Paul is letting us know. Here, I want to give you a Greek lesson. Look at this word that's here in verse 20. Underline it. Take notes about it. Whatever you may notice, the tense of the word that's given here. I have been crucified. He doesn't just say, I was crucified. There's particular words that are used here. I have been crucified. This is in the perfect tense in the Greek. You don't have to remember all this. Just know the reality of what I'm about to tell you. In the perfect tense, it means it's a completed action in the past that has present day results right now. Which means, for me, when I was 10, 34 years ago, when I recognized that Byron Brown's ways were not going to make me right before God, and I knelt there at that altar at Mountain View Baptist Church in Eva, Alabama, at Little Bitty Rural Church, the revival service, when I bowed before Christ and I confessed my sins before Him, supernaturally, in that very moment, I was crucified with Christ. And I can tell you today, some 34 years later, that there's still ongoing results in my life because of Christ came to live in me. He's not just dormant. He's alive in me. And He's alive in you. It's a supernatural work of God that when you place faith in Christ, you willingly die to yourself and you say, God, I surrender everything to you. I die to my efforts. I die to my sins. I lay my life down. And then God invades. God indwells. God comes. And then we can say, as Paul says, no longer me living, but Christ who lives in me. Praise God that it is Christ who comes in us, and he comes to us through the power of the Spirit. Paul addresses this in chapter 3. Just look down a little bit further. Because these people who had come to faith in Christ, they're wondering in regards to where did the Spirit come from? It wasn't from the law. It wasn't from their righteous behavior. Look at verse 2. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Oh, are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Paul's point is this. At the point of faith, at the point of hearing, at the point of believing, in that moment, the Spirit comes to live in us. And that's equivalent to what Paul is saying, that Christ is in us. Believer, if we want the life, if we want life, and we want his help, we have to just realize, if you are already a believer, the help is in you. Christ is there. He lives in us. Now you would say, well, wait a minute, if he's in me, then why do I struggle in the flesh? Let's just have an honest survey. How many struggle with the flesh? It should be a 100% hand-raising moment in this church. It's not one person who lives on this earth who's come to faith in Christ that the flesh is not going to be a struggle. Some days, some weeks, maybe better than others. Some days, some weeks, you're thinking, Lord, take me home. Just being honest. Here's Paul now giving us the answer. There is a reality that when we die, when we place faith in Christ, Christ is in us. And I think that's just where we also just need to be reminded today. Because if you came in here and you feel defeated, you feel discouraged, or you feel sidetracked, I just want to remind you, if you place faith in Christ, Christ is in you. Don't forget that truth. But then now Paul then transitions and he then addresses, if that's the case and we've died to the flesh, we've died to self-righteous efforts, and Christ is in us, we can't put it on cruise. Paul now tells us that there's a responsibility that you and I also have. How does he address it? I'll put it as a point on the screen. It's this. In order for us to now live, we have to live by faith in Christ. Sounds simple, doesn't it? But look at the text. See what it says. Let's read it again. Verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's the reality. It's in me. So how do I live now? And the life I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God. If we want to continue to live in the reality of the life that Christ wants to give us, Paul is saying the way that I live, even in the present tense there in the Greek, the way that I want to live and keep on living is I have to keep my faith looking to Jesus. If you and I, listen, it's faith that puts us in the relationship with Christ. It's faith that has to sustain us in our walk with Christ. Don't forget that. Faith puts you in the relationship, and faith is what sustains us. This is where I believe that some people, maybe in this very room and those who listen by stream, where Christians often struggle is because they may have placed faith in Christ. They may have crucified their life with Christ. They may have crucified that sin. But in the every ongoing and weekly thing, their eyes and their faith is not looking to Christ on a continual, steady basis. And so what happens in that moment is that flesh begins to rise again. The strength of the flesh and its tendencies and its temptations and the luring and the desires and the deceitfulness of the world begins to rise again. But listen, the only way that you're going to defeat that rising is your faith has to start rising again. Your faith has to be looking again. Your faith has to be looking at you. Say, what are you talking? I'm not talking about just my eyes. I'm talking about my mind has to be in the Word. My faith, content-wise, doctrine-wise, practical wise, has to keep looking. Do you know why I get up in the mornings and why I sit on the end of my couch and read the Word? Is because I know that the life that I died to will try to rise back up again. And so I have to live by faith in the Son of God. That's why every day I'm saying, oh God, help me today. Oh God, I need your help today. And listen, even when I do that, sometimes I still fail. But there is grace, thank the Lord, when the moments that I fail. So when I'm putting my head on my pillow at night, if there's moments I'm saying, God, I messed up in this moment. Thank you, Lord, that you still live in me to help me tomorrow, to do it all over again. But in order for me to want to be able to keep that flesh crucified, I have to keep looking at him. My faith has to continue to be sustained in him. My faith has to keep walking in him. Listen, Paul addresses it later. He explains this further in regards to where the Galatians were struggling with. But he makes it very practical for us. And I want to make it very practical for you and for me today. What does it look like practically for us to live in faith towards Christ in order that the flesh can be crucified? Because let me just explain it to you this way, then we're going to look at the text. To come to faith in Christ, there is an initial crucifixion that takes place. There is a change of ownership. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. He is my master now. I'm in his kingdom now. Ownership has changed. And once I'm there, even though there was initial crucifixion, there are times where I am going to have to, as I'm walking in faith to Christ, have to kill, crucify the fleshly tendencies that want to pop up every once in a while. How many of you have gone to that beloved place called Chuck E. Cheese? I'll keep my side comments to myself. Nevertheless, they have one of these games that's there that the kids play with these little animals. I don't remember if they're gophers or beavers or rats or whatever it is. You know what I'm talking about? You whack it and it pops up over here. And you whack that one, it pops right back where you just whacked it again. And you got to keep whacking it over and over again to see how many times you can keep the little gremlins, we'll just call them gremlins, popping up. And you think, I just hit that one, it's coming right back up again. Can we say that that's exactly what the flesh life is like in Christ? The power is in your hand. That little hammer that's there is Christ. And so I can't win by my own efforts. I have to keep having faith in Christ to keep crushing the gremlins that keep popping up. And sometimes they keep popping up more than the others. And so that's why that in our life, in our walk with Jesus, it's far more complex and far more serious than a game at Chuck E. Cheese. But the really reality of our walk with Christ is I realize I am victorious in Christ. I am victorious in Christ. I am victorious in Christ. We are victorious in Christ. He lives in us. He rose again. The Spirit who rose Jesus from the dead is the Spirit of God who lives in us. And so Paul is saying, yeah, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So then he makes it very practical. How do we do this on a daily basis? Go to Galatians 5. Because I want you to see where Paul then gives some very practical ways that this looks like for us. Verse 16, where Paul talks about the contrast of what it looks like to walk in faith versus walking in the flesh. You realize that even though that you are in Christ, you can walk in the flesh and not walk in the Spirit. But the Spirit of God who lives in you isn't going to let you stay that way. You understand that? Because Hebrews tells us if we are His and we don't walk in the Spirit, He's going to discipline us to bring us back in line so we will walk in the Spirit. But notice what Paul says here in Galatians 5, verse 16. This is what it looks like for me to have my faith, connecting it to Galatians 2, I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. So the Spirit of God is in us. So what does that look like? Paul tells us here, verse 16. I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Make the connection to Galatians 2:20. Look at the text again. The life I now live in the what? Flesh. Paul is now telling us practically, now in Galatians 5, if I'm going to walk by the Spirit, I will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Paul is now speaking on the ongoing walk with Christ. Now, Paul actually uses something here that's what's called a double negative in the Greek language, which literally means it would be like two no's back to back. Paul would be, literally, it would read this way in the English if we were translating it literally from the Greek. It would read like this. Look at your Bible. If I walk by the Spirit, I will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Paul's point is this. If I want to conquer the flesh, if I'm walking by the Spirit, I will not. I'm guaranteed to not gratify the desires of the flesh. So if I want to crush, if I want to crucify the fleshly tendencies that he lists out in verse 17 through 19, then I have to walk in the Spirit. This is what it means for me to have my eyes, as he talks about our faith, in Galatians 2:20, the life I live, I now live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God, the Spirit of Christ who lives in me. I have to keep my faith towards Christ. I have to keep my eyes towards Him. I have to keep my mind in the Word of God. I have to keep my knees callous and dependent upon the Lord of God. And through that, I'm listening to the Spirit of God. So when the Spirit convicts me of sin, I listen because he's helping me not to gratify the desires of the flesh. And my faith is looking, and when the Spirit is prompting me to do something that this Word is already telling me to do, I'm walking and my eyes are in faith in him. And so in that moment, I am going to walk in the Spirit, in the crucified life that I now live, and the Spirit is helping me to live. The Spirit's job is to bring glory to God. And so if the Spirit is in me, then I'm going to keep crucifying the flesh, saying yes to God, saying no to sin, so that I can live. Now, keep reading there in Galatians chapter 5. Paul is now telling us, he lists all those desires of the flesh there in verse 17 through verse 21. Let's read those, because if you're saying, well, I don't have any desires of the flesh, let's just see very clearly in regards to what some of those are. I think that these might hit some of us. For the desires, verse 17, the flesh are against the Spirit. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. If you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such things there is no law. Listen to verse 24. Those who belong to Christ... Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Pinch your arm and see if you're in the flesh. The fleshly passions and desires are going to be there until Jesus takes you home, or until we are here and he comes in the clouds and we're transformed to our perfected state. But as long as we are in this fleshly bodies, I don't care if you did great for 5 days last week and you're on day 6 of perfection. I'm just telling you, you're lying to yourself, because ain't nobody that good. We're going to wrestle with its passions and its desires. And I'm here to tell us we have to live a crucified life to live. If we want the power of God in our lives, we have to keep dying to self and keep resting in God and resting in the victory that He promises. Here's the good news. Oh, it's such a good news, please, because we could almost become prone to be just like Paul was, all self-effort. The good news is the Spirit of God is in us to help us crucify the flesh. In the moment we believed, when we died, He gave us the power of God to live in us. So in the moment, this is why Paul is saying, walk in the Spirit so the Spirit can help you say no to sin. So the Spirit can help you say yes to righteousness so that we can be able to please God Almighty who loves us. Verse 25 of Galatians 5. If we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. Ephesians 6 actually tells us that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. If we want to be able to walk in the Spirit, guess what we have to walk by? By His Word. Every one of us have different circles of lifestyles, encounters, workplaces are different. And your temptations are different than my temptations. And your struggles are different than my struggles. But although they are different, it's the same Spirit who can empower us to defeat whatever desire and passions may rise to the occasion. So I'm here to remind you, believer, the crucified life is the only life. The crucified life of our flesh and our tendencies that may have been secretly there have to die. Now, Paul tells us back in Galatians 2, the motivation for wanting to live the crucified life, because what could happen is there could be some religious obedience that would take place after this morning, and you say, okay, I have to do these things, I have to do that, and I have to do that. And we would fall prey to self-righteous obedience. The motivation for doing these things is because of what God has done. Look back at Galatians 2 and notice Paul lays out the motivation for all of what we need to do. Let's read the text again. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God. Why? Because He loved me. And He gave Himself up for me. Paul's motivation to wanting to live the crucified life and to live focused with his faith in the Son of God is he recognizes the gravity of his sinful situation before he was saved. Listen, you and I were bound to receive the outpouring wrath of God for the sins on our life. We were bound to receive eternal punishment away from God. But when we recognize that the cross of Christ is what sets us free, that the one who was the righteous one stood in my place and your place so that we would not have to face the righteous judge and to separate us from a good and gracious God and put us in hell to receive the punishment of God. When we recognize what Christ has done, when we recognize that our righteous deeds that we were trying to perform were not enough, and we recognize that His one righteous act was more than sufficient, when we recognize that my debt account of sinfulness and my self-righteous behavior was too far for me to ever try to overcome, and Christ steps in. Do you understand when He justified me, He removed the statement and the declaration of condemnation, and He set me free. When you recognize those things, then you can say like Paul, I live by faith. My faith is in God because He loved me, and He gave Himself up for me. Willingly, He laid it all down so my willingness to live by faith in the Son of God, when I get up in the morning, and when you get up in the morning, and you open up this Word, and you spend time with God, it's not out of obligation. It's not just because I feel like someone's telling me that I have to do it. It's because I want to do it because of what He did for me. Imagine this. I go home tomorrow after work, and I stand at my door, and I knock for the kids or my wife to let me in. They would be wondering, what are you doing, Dad? And I have a bouquet of flowers behind me to give to my wife. And she says, why are you doing that? And I would say, because I have to, and it's the right thing to do. Do you think she would enjoy the flowers? Probably wouldn't put them on the table. Back that up. Tomorrow I go home from work. I don't knock on the door because it's my home. And I walk in with a bouquet of flowers and I put them on the table and I kiss my wife and I tell her that I love her and she says, why? Because I love you. And all that you've done for me, it's an expression of my appreciation. I live by faith in the Son of God, not because it's the right thing to do. I live by faith, and my eyes are on Christ, and I'm walking by the Spirit to the best that your pastor knows how. Because Christ gave Himself for me and for you. I wonder how many of us this morning are doing the righteous things because we feel it's the right thing to do. And we've lost the joy in the surrender. What you may need to do this morning is to crucify that self-righteous behavior and say, God, I don't want to do these things because I feel like I have to. I want to do these things because I want to, because of what you've done for me. So today, as we look at this text, I think there's application in a couple of different ways. Number one, as a believer, I want you to look at your own life and ask yourself this question. Are you beating yourself up as a believer because of a past? Or are you resting in the completed work of Christ? Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. He's resting. He's not resting in the fact that he killed people. He's not resting in the fact that he killed Stephen, had him stoned. He's not resting in his past where he would chase down believers in homes. He's resting in what Christ accomplished on the cross to set him free of all that. And some of you in this room and those who listen by streaming need to hear this word this morning. You've been crucified with Christ, past tense, with present day results. You were set free. You were forgiven. And you're still forgiven. You live in that reality. Some of you this morning as a believer know that you've been crucified with Him. But some of you have been easing back into and ebbing into trying to just be self-righteous again and not resting in what Christ has done. And you're doing those things because you think that's what makes you right with God. Today I'm trying to challenge you, to encourage you, is you don't need to fall back under the law mentality again. Just need to rest in what Christ has done and move back to the mentality is to enjoy God once again. Enjoy what He's done. Don't spend time in the Word because you think you have to. Spend time in the Word just because you want to be with the One who redeemed you. Some of you in this very room, though, who are believers, are not hitting the gremlins of the flesh in your life. You know what they are. And you are not trying to crucify those through the power of the Spirit. They are going to zap you from the life that God wants you to live and to have. I'm not talking about getting lost and getting saved again. I'm talking to you, believer. Some of you in this very room have allowed some fleshly tendencies to crop up once again. And they'll be like weeds that if you don't get rid of them soon, they will take over. And it will be painful to remove them. I'm here to challenge you this morning that the Christ who lives in you will give you the power to crucify any fleshly tendencies. And if you want to live, I mean, you really want to live and you want to have joy in Christ, today is by the power of Christ, you say, God, here is my fleshly tendency. I lay it down, and God will help you crucify that thing. You can rest in the accomplished work of Christ. And some of you in this room have yet to actually be crucified with Christ. You have not surrendered. And you think that you're living. The enemy will lie to you and make that you think that you're living, but in reality, I'm here today to tell you that the enemy is not one who's going to tell you what is true. But today, if you will die to yourself, and instantly in that moment, and you trust in the saving work of Christ, instantly in that moment, the power of God, through the Spirit of God, will come to live in you and make you clean. The simple question is this: are you living the crucified life? I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's live the crucified life. Let's pray. Father, we hear your word this morning to us, that as believers through the work of your Son Jesus, we can live the crucified life. Lord, we thank you for this text that tells us, for those who have placed faith in you, that there was an action that happened in the past with ongoing results to today. Thank you that that past action, that we were crucified, that our self-righteous efforts, our sinful behavior, all of our sinful actions were crucified with you there on the cross, and they were nailed to the cross according to your word. But Lord, sometimes that in this very moment and in these days that we live in, it's easy for us as believers to just focus on that one moment rather than walking in a daily obedience to the life that we have in you through the Spirit. So God, my prayer today is that if there are any in this room and any that are listening by streaming right now who have been crucified with you, but yet are not living today with their faith and their eyes upon you, they're just existing. So God, I ask you today that if that is the case, that you would draw those people back to have their passions, their hunger, their zeal, their focus upon you once again. God, I ask for believers in this room who are walking like they need to, whose eyes are upon you, and by the power of Christ, they're able to crucify the flesh over and over again. So God, my prayer is that you would protect them from the enemy, empower them to stay focused upon you, to empower them to keep their eyes upon you. God, I also pray for any in this room, children, teenagers, adults, senior adults, for those who are in Christ but have allowed some fleshly tendencies to become patterns that are slowly becoming habits again. God, today in this moment, we trust that the Spirit of God that lives in them and from the Spirit that speaks to this word, that you've convicted them of those fleshly tendencies. And today, through the power of Christ, you're reminding them that they need to crucify those things so they will not live by the flesh. God, give them victory. God, if there's any today here in this room, and any who are sitting in their home or any who are driving down the road listening to this sermon by stream, And they have yet to surrender. That they have yet to die to themselves so that Christ lives in them. Then today, God, I pray and ask you that you will call them to repentance and faith. That they would surrender, that they would die to themselves so that you can live through them. Father, we ask for your help now. The help that is in us through your Son Jesus, through the Spirit of God that lives in us. Help us to be obedient, to do these things that you've placed on our minds and our hearts today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we stand and as we sing, there'll be those here to receive you. If you have prayer needs for any of those things that we've mentioned, or if there's any other prayer need that you have, you come. We're here to pray with you, to believe in the power of God, to answer whatever it is that God wants to speak to you to do. So you come as we are here.